Thank you for listening to the Keystone Church podcast. For more information about us, you can visit us at mykeystonechurch.com. So here's what I want to do. We're going over 12 keys to encountering God's presence. And so last week we covered the first key, which is hunger. And what I want to do is take some time to go over two more keys today, and then take some time just as a group to talk about it and talk about where we are. Before we do though, weird question, does anybody have some pain in their right side and their back right now? Like a rib is out or anything like that?
Left side?
Left
about
side?
3 weeks.
Okay, yeah. But it's kind of like in the middle there?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I got that this morning about 2 hours ago. I felt like that was going to be a thing. So can we pray for you? Just so you know, and it's funny because I've done that one other time and it was with Sarah. That's not comfortable for me. That's not like,
really?
Hey. No, here's the thing. I love it. I love it. I have a passion for it. I am excited about it. I want it, but it feels so uncomfortable. It's not easy. And I say that because I want you guys to know it's not like, hey, David just gets this and he's good at this. It's really not. It's for all of us. It's for all of us to be able to operate in and to move in. And it's not like it's going to be easier for some people than it is for others, but I think that's important to know. Yeah. You're welcome. Obviously, the more you do it, the more comfortable it gets, right? But
does it feel vulnerable for you? So
like, it does. Yeah. If
that's what I would be feeling. I would be like,
it feels,
I really want to bring that up.
Absolutely. It feels very exposing. It's like, I'm, you know? And yet, I have to go back to, I'm putting it on God. Like, whether or not somebody, the result is not on me. I have to take that off. Because what happens, I think, a lot of times for me anyway, is I haven't wanted to pray for people because of fear that God wouldn't do anything. So I don't even try because I'm putting the result on me and my performance and how I look to other people. And the reality is, sometimes just the act of going to somebody and praying for them, even if nothing happens, brings a peace and a life to them that God wanted, and my disobedience and not doing that because of my own appearance and pride kept them from encountering that peace and that connection with him. All right, last week we went over hunger. So hunger is when we ask, seek, and knock. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. It's right. How does it go?
I don't really remember it, but I heard it on Tiger.
Okay. So ask, seek, and knock. So us pursuing God comes from a place of hunger. And hunger isn't always there. Sometimes we don't actually have the desire for God, but we have to stir that up inside of us. We can actually say to God, God, I don't want you right now, but I want to want you. And that's one of the ways that we can begin to be honest and vulnerable with him and stir up that hunger. The second key, what we're talking about today, is invitation. An invitation is us receiving him. It's us responding to his knocking. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Now, this is a promise. This isn't just a random thing that Jesus is saying. He's making a promise, a declaration that's saying, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So having a place of invitation in our hearts, the point of all these keys that I'm talking about is that as we enter in the place of prayer, we don't just want to speak and spout off words and be done. We actually want to have an encounter with God. And having an encounter with God, one of those keys is invitation, is actually saying, God, come, and inviting him into who we are. So the thing is, our whole being, everything, every part of us was designed to worship and encounter God. So we were designed to encounter him with our mind, with our spirit, with our body. Our whole part, all of us, is designed to experience him. And that's why some people get really bent out of shape when people get overly emotional and caught up in that stuff. Some people get bent out of shape when people are overly intellectual and it's just a mental faith. Well, the truth is we were designed to experience God with our emotions and with our mind. And so it's not that either one of those is bad. It's a yes and. It's okay to get carried away in emotions, and it's okay to have an intellectual context for your relationship. But we have to have it all. And so the question is, how much of you, of your being, are you actually inviting God into? Are there parts that you're sectioning off and saying, God, you know, I'll let you come to my mind, but my emotions are off limits. That's not okay. Or God, I'll let you come and move in my emotions, but I don't really want to take any time and actually think about you and actually apply my mind. Are there parts of us that we don't allow him into? In John 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So an encounter with him, a piece of that, is knowing his voice. And so I'm going to pull something up here. There's so many different ways that we can hear God's voice. Sometimes God's voice is a still, quiet whisper in our soul, and we just hear his words to our spirit. Sometimes in that place of prayer, when we're inviting him and we're in his presence, sometimes it's a thought pops into our mind. There's times when I'm just sitting there and I'm asking God, and the thing is I'm inviting him everywhere, and I'm saying, God, wherever you want to move, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, that's where I want to go. And a thought might pop into my head about my marriage, or a thought might pop into my head about somebody at work or a situation. See, the thing is, a lot of times when we come into God's presence, we know what we want him to deal with and what we don't want him to deal with. But sometimes I think we're afraid that Jesus is just going to come in like a dentist. Like he's just going to jump into the most painful spots and just start poking and go, oh, how does that feel? How much have you been flossing? You know, you got a big piece of sin right there. We're just going to poke at that until we get it gone. And I think the fear of inviting him into that place is the fear that that's what he's going to do. But the reality is, sometimes he just wants to love on us and bring us encouragement. The reality is, even when Jesus knew where he wanted to take somebody, he usually would take them on a winding path to get there. He would start, you know, the lady at the well is asking him, you know, hey, where are we supposed to worship? Jesus knows the core that he wants to get to is how she can love God and connect with him in a personal way and what her personal point of pain is. But he doesn't go right to her personal point of pain. He kind of takes a winding route, and then he gets there when it feels safe. Does that make sense? God is not an invasive, aggressive God. He doesn't bust through our door and come in and just start messing with all of our most vulnerable stuff, which means that we can be safe inviting him into those places and knowing when he gets there, it's going to be gentle. And he may not get there right away. We may think it's the first thing that he should deal with, but in reality, when we have that moment, when we're in prayer with him, he might bring a thought about something else completely, and he might take us somewhere else. Or you might get a picture. You might get a picture of a waterfall or something just random. And the key is that as we learn to engage with him in prayer, to not just be dismissive of things like that, because we think we know what we're after, and we are only inviting him if it looks like this. So if I encounter you, it has to look this way. I have to hear you in this way. And what I want to encourage us all to do is don't just be dismissive of a random image or a random thought or a whisper or a picture or a song that pops into your head. If something like that happens, then ask him the next question, which is, oh, that's cool. So what does that mean? And see if he wants to take us somewhere. God likes when we prepare for his presence. When we talk about invitation, if I invite somebody over to my home, I'm expecting company, right? And if I'm expecting company, I'm in a different mindset. You know, when we have church, we prepare our home and we clean it up. But here's the thing. When we invite Jesus, when we invite company, we don't clean it because we're trying to look better. I think it's really important that we put this difference in place. It's not that I got to get myself looking good before I can invite Jesus over. It is that I want to have an environment that's free of distraction, that's welcoming to him. Does that make sense? When we invite people, we're not trying to present a different picture than is really here. I mean, you guys know we have 4 kids. This place blows up. We just don't want you tripping on stuff, that's all. But at the end of the day, when Jesus comes, here's the interesting thing. God likes when we prepare, and there's so many different pieces of the Bible where this is a part of what's happening. Israel, before they met with God, they consecrated themselves for 2 days. And in Exodus 19, God said, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so the people will hear me speaking. And he says, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down. That time of consecration, that time of preparation, is a time for them to shift their mindset from, you know, hey, we're expecting company. We're going to connect with God. And it was a time for them to kind of just change their mindset so that when he came, they were ready for him. And obviously, if you read more in the chapter, that's not what happened. But Jesus came, and here's the thing. When he came, he had a herald. John the Baptist came as the herald of Jesus, and a king who has a herald, they have somebody coming before them, obnoxiously dressed in like peacock robes with a big long trumpet, blowing the horn and going, prepare the way, the king is coming. Clear the streets, get all the peasants and the dirty people out of the way. Their goal is to make the king look as big and powerful as they can and to make sure there's no junk in the way. John the Baptist comes and he's the herald and he's dressed in camel hair. Can you imagine how bad that probably smelled? So you've got this guy, this is the herald of God of the universe, and he sends a man eating grasshoppers dressed in camel hair, and he sends the king himself as born in a manger. He's born in the worst place, the place that everybody in that whole country is like, nothing good can come from Nazareth. Here's the thing, the God of the universe thought it was more important to make sure that he came in humility and that he was approachable to people than he thought it was important for him to put on a show to prove how great he was. He wanted to be approachable. He wanted it to be easy access. So he sent his herald, but his herald wasn't loud and ostentatious. It was thousands of people flocked to him because he was approachable, because there was life in it. So when we talk about invitation and that preparation time, it's not about getting everything perfect. It's not hiding all your dirt under the carpet. It's just getting yourself ready to be a good host of his presence. When we talk about hosting the presence of God, what we're talking about is creating a place where it's easy for God to come and do what he wants to do. And we're not distracted. We're not drawn into other places, but we're able to actually say, what do you want? When you're hosting people, you want to say like, would you like a glass of water? Would you like some food? Would you like a tour of the home? When someone comes to your home and they show interest in something, you show it to them. They're like, oh, your backyard looks great. Oh, great, let me come show you. Like when you're hosting, you kind of let the person who's there take the lead and you pull them into it and follow them. In the same way, when we're hosting the presence of God, when we invite him in, and we let him kind of take the lead in where he wants to go. We prepare ourselves by saying, I'm going to be in a place where I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to be in a place where I'm prepared to meet with him. It's not just like, oh, yeah, let yourself in and grab a seat wherever and do whatever you want. So much more to this, but I'm gonna press on ahead. One more thing here, though. We can only invite Jesus into what we have. We can't invite Jesus into a fantasy of what we're not. And I think a lot of times we want to say like, oh, I'm religious and I'm perfect, I'm spiritual, and Jesus, this is the place I want to meet with you. And that's not where he wants to come. He wants to come into the reality. He wants to come where we really are. He won't come where he's not invited, where he's not welcome. When Jesus set free the demon-possessed man, the people in that town said, please leave. They were not okay with him being there, and he left. And so we need to understand, if there's areas that we are not inviting him into, he's not going to come. And often the areas that we're not inviting him are the areas that we need him the most. So I want to encourage us to open that up and expand where we're going to allow him to move. The last key, and then I'd love to have some discussion on this, is time. Time. If you want to hear God's voice and you want to encounter his presence, you can't expect that it's going to happen with a quick thrown up prayer and moving on to the next thing. We have to be able to invest some time into his presence. When you talk about, I love the picture of a river. You know, if you throw a stone into a river, it's not going to make a ripple. You won't be able to tell where that stone hit versus any of the other distractions and chaos happening. But if you have a pond and the water is still and it's not moving, when you throw a pebble in, it doesn't matter, even a tiny pebble is going to have ripples. It'll make an impact on the surface, and you can tell something happened. If we want to encounter God, it takes time to get our rivers to slow down into a still pond. It takes time for us to transition from the craziness of life into a place of actually being ready to receive. Time helps to calm us down. It helps to settle our fears. It helps to build trust and intimacy. Again, if we're talking about being a good host doesn't rush people in and out. Have you ever been to a restaurant where they want their table back and they want it back now? Like, you're sitting there and it's like, hey, can we have this table? We need your table. Well, I've only been here 45 minutes and the food just came out 10 minutes ago. Oh, yeah. Well, would you like some doggy bags? Here's your check. Exactly. And it's that kind of feeling. And it's like, well, I didn't really get an experience here. We need to prepare space and time to be with God in order to actually engage in a meaningful relationship with Him. Jesus made this one of His highest priorities, and we really don't talk about it a whole lot. But in Luke 5, it says, in Luke 5, verse 15, He says, after this miracle, the news about Jesus spread even farther. Massive crowds continually gathered to hear Him speak and to be healed from their illnesses. But Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. And I love that verse. Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. When people are surrounding you and they're asking for healing and they're asking for all this stuff, like, and Jesus did. He healed the crowds. He spoke to them. He had compassion on them. But He also slipped away from them. It doesn't say that He waited until everything was quiet and He was alone. It doesn't say He waited until all His responsibilities were fulfilled. It doesn't say that He waited until there was a good moment. It says He slipped away right in the middle of it. And I don't know how you do that when you're Jesus. Like, maybe He just put the disciples, like, why don't you ask Peter that question? I'm out of here. And just disappears. Like, I don't know how He did it. But somehow, He made that such a priority that in the middle of all the craziness, He slept away and went to be with God. It's so easy to look at everything Jesus did in 3 years and just think He had this massive energy and this drive and this passion. If any of you've seen Hamilton, it's like, you know, why do you write like it's going out of style? Have you heard that song? Why do you write like it's going out of style? Like, you know, you think that about Jesus and He just keeps moving and keeps doing all this stuff and He's got all this energy and there's a difference. And the difference is Hamilton is going at everything with this human zeal. And human zeal and human energy can only take you so far. At some point, you're either going to burn out or you're going to compromise. Human zeal will always lead to burnout or compromise. Jesus was constantly withdrawing to get refilled and to take time in the presence of God. In Isaiah 37, 32, it talks about, it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God's zeal will accomplish things and get things done, not our own. Which means we've got to connect with Him. We've got to go be with Him. We've got to go take that time. So taking that time often requires finding out how you're designed. Like, what's your ideal time? Because a lot of times what we end up doing, and we talked about this last week, is, you know, if time with God is dessert and you wait until the end and you're full, you can't have dessert because you don't have any room left. And in the same way, when we spend our day and we're exhausted and we hit that last couple minutes of the day and we're like, all right, now I'll have some time with God. And you try and you fall asleep and you can't quite get there. And the solution is eat dessert first, right? The solution is begin with that time with Him. So you have to find out what's your ideal time. Now, some people are night owls. Some people can't do it in the morning and their best hours are at night. The key is not when you do it. The key is give God your best. Don't give Him your lazy, exhausted, burnt out time. Give God your best time, your most awake, most focused time. Give it to Him for 15 minutes. If we want time with Jesus and we take 15 minutes, set a timer on your phone, really, so you don't get distracted and keep looking at the clock. You would be absolutely amazed at what God can do in your heart in the space of 15 minutes. It would shock you if you do this on a regular basis and you fully invite and embrace His presence into your heart. I want to encourage you to do that. Last thing, Gary Black's dad, Dwayne, just this morning posted, and I love it. If you haven't met him, he's just this amazing man with a passion for God. He's kind of like an old cowboy who is just like, you know, we can buck ourselves up and do this, but he loves Jesus, and he's got some good stuff that he puts out on social media. He said, a dear FB friend and I were messaging back and forth this morning. She's faithfully prayed for a daughter who lives away from home and is not serving the Lord. God knocks at our door and then waits for us to open it. He doesn't push it open. He wants to be invited in. Sometimes we wait to open it or we don't want to. He is the essence of patience. He is waiting for you. And I just thought that was such a cool way to close things out today, by just reminding us he is the essence of patience, but he is waiting for us. He's right there. He is knocking. And if we will take the time, and if we will invite and open the door, that is going to help lead us to a place where we can actually encounter him in a powerful way, especially if we don't limit his access to wherever it is that he wants to go. So God, we just worship you and ask that you would come, that your presence would be here, that you would, Father, that you're invited into every piece of us. And God, anywhere that we've had resistance or where we have wounds or we have areas that feel unsafe to let you in, we ask that you would help guide us to open that spot up. God, we just release our hearts to you, our minds, our bodies, and we just ask that you would help us to prepare time and space to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.